Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is WEEI Late Night with KJ Carson on WEEI.
Did you sense how big of a game? Everyone kind of focused on the matchup with Wiggins, and Wiggins didn't play the last game, and Wiggins did well against him in the finals. Did you sense that this was an important game for Jason to kind of just, and how he kind of broke out toward the end? Did you sense it was important to him?
I sense every game's important for him, the way he's approached, you know, his craft, his season. And so to say that, that kind of diminishes his mindset and, you know, his work ethic. And I think all of our guys are just understanding that we're going to get everyone's best game, and we have to play our best game more times than not. And so does this mean we're a perfect team? No. Does this mean that we're going to, you know, go undefeated the rest of the season? No. Does this mean that we're not going to have difficult times? No. What it means is our guys have shown that we have the capability, the mindset, the poise, the physicality to compete at a high, high level, and that we're growing in those habits as well.
Late Night, WEEI, how you doing? It's KJ Carson, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. That's Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla, or interim head coach, which is still kind of fascinating in itself, on just how important the Celtics saw last night's game. And I said, like, look, this was the game that was important for the psyche, not only for the team, but for the city. See, the Red Sox are pretty much not going to hold up your heart this year. I think you kind of know that. And then the Patriots, well, you hear the discussions about what's going on. It's really kind of a case of who's on first. The Bruins, we'll get to shortly, but the Celtics are the most important team right now to the psyche of New England. And if they'd lost that game last night, then maybe you're like, okay, I hope that this Bruins team that's been out of world and they're older can make it all the way through to the Stanley Cup Finals and win it, which is a lot to ask, but still possible. But the Celtics are the ones most recent, closest to the promised land. And so it was kind of disappointing seeing how some people were on Jason Tatum, and because he didn't drop 50 again, it's like, you know, maybe that's why I played a 50-inspired beat coming in. Stiz, how are you doing? Good to have
KJ,
you here, man.
KJ, what's up, my man?
Everything is wonderful. Look, I think you have to really smell the flowers as they're blooming. Because if we're fatalist here, let's just call it what it is. Like, it's such a great season just to break my heart. Well, just enjoy the smell of the flowers right now. Maybe they don't smell like roses because roses famously smell like boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But the Celtics right now are most in charge of the emotional state of the city of champions, even though there hasn't been a championship here since the Red Sox. Here's why I say this. The way that the Celtics kind of withered in the NBA Finals last year, people felt like, okay, this team can't close the deal. And the way that they had lost to Golden State back in December 10th at Golden State, well, there's no, my wife is like, what is Golden State? I'm like, it's California, but they really play in San Francisco. The game in San Francisco kind of tugged at your emotional purse strings, saying, oh gosh, I don't want to lay all my emotions on the Celtics. So I'll put the Celtics on a shelf for a second and go to the next most likely to be the reason for your emotional up and down, and that's the Bruins. And maybe about a week ago, I kind of went on this tangent like, yeah, I get the whole love affair and the humping of the leg of Connor McDavid by the NHL, but dadgummit, Pasta is right there, and I couldn't understand why he wasn't immediately the first one chosen from, you know, when they pick a player from each team. They took Linus first from the Bruins. And then I said when it came to the Hart Trophy, I really believe that Pasta should really be in the running to win it, but he won't because one of two things will happen. Two, Canada will try to save hockey by making Connor McDavid the Hart Trophy winner, even though the Oilers are battling for the eighth spot in the West. It goes along with that baseball argument I have. It's like, you can't tell me a guy's the MVP and their team is not even in the playoffs versus a guy who's been Mr. All-World for a team that's been All-World. And two, why he wouldn't win the Hart Trophy is because Linus would get some of the votes and split, and therefore making Connor McDavid the winner. So I saw that coming. But Pasta is going to the All-Star now after this, you know, second naming of, you know. But here's Pasta after the Islanders game talking about what it's like being able to get to the All-Star game.
Pasta, I think the other two times it was just you, maybe Bruce was with you one year, but what's it going to be like to have Linus and Monty with you at the All-Star game?
Yeah, it's great, obviously, to have another teammate there, you know, and especially for, you know, bringing your families together there. So, you know, they know each other, can hang out together. So obviously fun, and it's going to be definitely more special when you have a teammate to share it with.
Yeah, so him, Linus, and Jim are all going to the All-Star game. And then, you know, Tatum right now is the leading vote getter to start in the All-Star game. And I think Jaylen Brown is like trailing third amongst guards. It might be a little more tough for him to get there. And I think the way the All-Star game works, it isn't I think it's based on who had the two best records last year. No, or it could be this year. I can't remember. But if that's the case, then Joe Mazzulla may also be the head coach, depending on where the records are when you come to the All-Star break. So when it comes to the Bruins, there's this feeling of kind of like, I really want to lay my emotions on that table a little more because the way this season has been going so far. But then you're wondering, will the team toughen up in the playoffs? Will they make a move at the trade deadline to maybe get an additional scorer or tighten up some of the defense or have another defender back there? It's been an amazing season, but then in the back of your head, and this is the fatalist of New England, the Bruins are the third oldest team in the NHL. And you wonder, could they make it through kind of this, what was the game that you used to call American Gladiators where you'd have to make it through, like a gauntlet or so. Could they make it through an NHL gauntlet for the playoffs? So I'll say, well, let's take the Bruins first, right? Because that's the one where you're like, ah, talk to me in the second round, whatever they do, yah, 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 this, that, and the third. So if you say, okay, it starts right now, then the Bruins would be facing the Capitals in the first round. Oh, boy. Tom Wilson, does Ovechkin get hot for one last time? The NHL is the one league where an 8 can beat a 1 and nobody flinch. But I think if the Bruins stay healthy and stay on the trajectory they've been, I would not worry about them and the Capitals. So let's say they beat the Capitals and move on, right? So it would be the Bruins most likely facing the Lightning. Oh, God. No. No. This is why I'm saying when it comes to the emotional rescue of both the Celtics and Bruins, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I would just say pick your poison. I think one of the two, I would hope both of the two would get to at least their finals. Clearly, you would want the Bruins to get to the finals and win it. And the same thing with the Celtics, because they were there last year. You're like, you don't want to go 2 years in a row and start losing, start looking like the old Denver Broncos, Buffalo Bills. But a second-round potential matchup between the Lightning and the Bruins does not allow me to sleep very easy. So let's just say, hey, Bruins, pull it out, tough digging. their conference finals. The prediction is the Devils and the Bruins. I believe it will be the Hurricanes, though. So literally, you're talking about on the way to getting to the Eastern Conference Championship for the conference championship in the East. You would have to go through Tampa and then the Hurricanes. And Stanley Cup, they believe it's Winnipeg. Winnipeg right now has the advantage. So you feel like, okay, if they can clear through those two rounds, the West is kind of weak this year. You get there, it'll really be a no-brainer. Like, whoever's coming out of the East is most likely to win the Stanley Cup. The question is, with the Bruins and their age, can they get across that finish line? Back to the Celtics. So the Celtics are starting to figure out that, okay, games now are going to become more important after the second half of the season. You have surging teams that are coming along, and you have to establish that you can't give up victories or you can't lose games in the last 2-3 minutes of the game. So here's Jason Tatum on the big adjustments they made last night to pull out that victory against the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, in this league, so many talented players that no lead is truly safe. So you never, want to relax, take your foot off the gas until the game is over with. And especially against these guys, right? One turnover, one mistake, it just seems like it always leads to a three. You just got to keep fighting to the end.
Yeah, and this is what the Celtics have to show themselves to be, because let's just say what the playoffs would look like for them. So it would be Celtics and Pacers possibly in a first round matchup. And the Pacers have been a bug in the shoe, but I don't think they're enough to give the Celtics that big of a headache. So let's say the Celtics advance. It's like, okay. So the Celtics would face the Sixers in the second round. Oh God. Oh my gosh. If they get to the semifinals, it would be the Sixers. I mean, it would be the Celtics and the Bucks. Then to get to the NBA Finals, they're most likely looking at the Nuggets. That's even uglier on the end. So pick your poison. It's not going to be an easy road for either. So, yes, celebrate these moments. People are always asking us, you've got two of the biggest teams in the world right now in their respective sports, and nobody's talking about them. Because we see some of this trajectory stuff here. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Which team do I think would potentially have an easier path to at least get to the finals? I would say it's a push. Those second round matchups, see, like, heavy is the head who wears the crown. Because you would hope that some team would have some type of upset in a 5-4 game or what have you. And that could happen. But, after you get your cupcake of welcome to getting out of in the NBA, welcome to getting out of the play-in games, here you go, your little 8 seed. But in the NHL, that's totally different. Your 8 seed could be that team that gets hot at the end of the season and continues to stay hot. And that's why playing on the road matters. Here's Jim Montgomery about how the team looks at home versus on the road.
I think that the only difference I see is that once we get rolling, we tend to overwhelm people and run away with games at home. That's kind of been the difference. That's why I think the goal differential. But I think our structure and how detailed we are is better on the road.
Yeah, they seem to tighten things up, even though the scoring by periods are tighter on the road than they are at home. Obviously, at home, it's almost kind of like, you guys are playing out there with two pucks and they're playing with half a puck, trying to take shots. But if there is a concern, is when they're on the road, their opponents are getting off just as many shots as the Bruins are. We're at home, it isn't even close. And so if you're talking about a series where the away team, where you have to go to, is Tampa, oh God. Hurricanes? Oh, boy. Winnipeg Jets? I feel good about that. So give the team its flowers for right now. We'll continue the conversation here shortly. 37937 is the text line. 617-779-7937. KJ Late Night. The Celtics and the Bruins, they're in charge of your heart, your emotional purse strings, but let's just prepare yourself for how the relationship may look down the road. All right. We still have Scared Money Don't Make None. That comes in about 30 minutes. Oh, there's some juicy, juicy props in these playoff games this weekend. Like, you lay maybe $100 down, you could see a nice fat return.
Let's go, KJ. I could use some extra cash this week.
I know you can. So start your good luck roll now, Stiz. Go ahead. You got trending. Take it away.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The NFL divisional round kicks off tomorrow at 4:30 with the Jaguars taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. And don't forget, all of the NFL divisional rounds can be heard right here on WEEI. The Patriots reportedly interviewed Bill O'Brien on Thursday for their offensive coordinator opening, the first step toward what many believe would be a necessary reunion here in New England. The Celtics beat the Warriors last night in Boston, 121-118. They have the night off tonight and return to action tomorrow when they take on the Raptors, tip-off at 5 p.m. And your Boston Bruins are off until Sunday when they return to the ice to play San Jose Sharks, puck drops at 7 p.m. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is WEEI Late Night with KJ Carson on WEEI.
Does winning a game like on and more so on the defensive end, given you know how well you guys are playing offensively this year, does that mean a little more just from your vantage point, or good to see that?
It doesn't mean more because we're top five in both. And so we're a well-balanced team, but usually when people focus on a great offensive team, they can't make the correlation that you can be a great offense and a great defense. And so I'm not surprised when we have great defensive games also. We're expected one and two in both, and then we're like second and sixth in natural. And so we're a great balanced basketball team. And we show that more times than not. And so to say that we're not great defensively, we're good at both. And so what it does show is during the stretch of when we were losing games because of our shooting, we weren't finding other ways to win. We were still playing at a high, high level defensively, in my opinion, forcing the right shots. We weren't creating the turnovers. We weren't getting the offensive rebounds. We weren't executing in certain situations. We weren't getting those one or two stops that we needed to. And so that stretch of where we weren't playing our best basketball allowed us to learn how to win games when we don't shoot the ball well.
Yeah, let that crank, Stiz. Yeah. Late night, WEEI, KJ, thanks so much for hanging out. You wouldn't have thought that would come out of me, Stiz.
I love the variety, KJ, and I hope you're coming with me to see them. They're coming back to Boston, baby.
I know the no repeat shows. Okay. That's Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla saying, look, defense is showing the importance for this team as they're moving forward. And this has been kind of my narrative about the team early on when they were scoring like 120 a game. And I was like, you know, that's really cool. But when you start thinking about how you're going to have to defend people like Embiid and Harden and Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and then Giannis, Middleton. I can't think of his first name right now, but Middleton escapes me for a second. I don't want to give him the wrong first name. But that duo right there, I think, are so tired in terms of the Bucks. That's the team. Like, I would be more concerned about a Philadelphia team that when they had their stars down, their role players got so many minutes and understood what starters had to do, and then now what they have to do. Tyrese Maxey is back. Philadelphia is so dangerous, and there's just no real answer for the Embiid size. Now, Embiid can sometimes get aloof in a game, and you would really want that to happen, but that's just an intense atmosphere, you know, I think because all this talk has been about the Celtics and just kind of the high-flying act and Jason Tatum, and I think this is now where you kind of have to start turning up the defensive intensity that the team laid its hat on last year. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ Late Night here. WEEI. And so I've been talking about, hey, the Celtics and the Bruins are really the emotional heartstrings that are pulling the city and the area right now. Like, not only are these teams the two best out of all four, but both of these teams have a trajectory to get to the finals. And because of that, one, people complain. They're always going to complain. You say it's sunny to be like, well, there's a little cloud over there. That sometimes it can be very hard to talk about how great things are. Like, nobody wants to consistently hear that your kid got an A on a quiz every day. Shut up. Just let me know how the marking period looks. So I'm trying to give you the overview of, hey, on this trajectory, what does it look like as you start to get to the bottleneck when, all right, you're not playing some schlep team in the league in two nights. You're playing the same team potentially seven times over a span of 10, 11 days, 12 days. Well, TV wants it 2 weeks. And so defense is going to be the calling card that the Celtics, as I'm saying, has to lay its hat on. So if you're just joining, I'd mention that if the NBA playoffs were to start right now, or what the projections are, the Celtics in the first round would face Indiana. That's who they think may win the play-in game. They also have the Knicks potentially. Pacers, Knicks, Hawks, Bulls, all right there in that same area. One of those four teams. If you would want, just like, who would push the Celtics the most? It would be the Bulls, because you've seen that already. But with injury, and maybe they get it together. Put it this way: if the Bulls turn it around, they'll probably be above the play-in line and maybe playing, say, a 3 seed to start off versus, you know, being an 8 seed getting in. And Celtics advance in that series, and they would play the winner of the 4-5 seed, who would be the Cavs and the Sixers most likely. Or it could be the Nets, but it says Sixers, with the Nets with this smaller chance, and then the Cavs right behind them. So you're talking about seeing Embiid and Harden in the second round matchup. Whereas a little different than last year, if I recall, the Celtics in the second round, first round it was the Nets, and they swept them. And in that second round, it was the Bucks. And then the finals, it was the Heat. So the difference between being now the 1 seed, you're going to get probably, I would say, a better team than the Bucks are this year in the 76ers. And then if you get out of that series, which will be a lot, you're talking about Celtics-Bucks again. So, as I was just saying, I feel better. If you said to me, which of these three teams would not want the Celtics to face pretty much fully healthy, would it be the Bucks, the Nets, or the 76ers? It would be the 76ers 1, Bucks 2, Nets 3. Just because you just don't know how long Kevin Durant's injury is going to last. It seems like now it's an every year occurrence with him. And so the thing about injuries is your body is never healthy as it was before you got the injury. Even, you know what I mean? Like, your body just continues to take this hitting. And Kevin Durant is a sleight of build guy. So, you know, when you start talking about PCLs and ACLs and MCLs and stuff like that, you're talking about things that are really going to need to take its time, considering the guy did blow his Achilles a few years ago. And the Nets have struggled since he's been gone. But if you kind of turn the leaf and look at the Bruins, I think for them, it's really just about how fresh is Linus once you're getting into the playoffs. And the way you kind of find that out is sliding in Jeremy Swayman, right? And last year, it was kind of like, oh, gosh, can somebody just stop multiple goals from going in? It was a mess last year. But this year, it's a totally different story. And I think it's because Linus has been on such fire that it's allowed Swayman to step his game up. Here's Jim Montgomery on his thoughts on Swayman and his performances so far this year.
A lot of times he gets the back-to-back, the second half of the back-to-back. So he's playing, you know, in front of a team that just played a little bit tired team. What does that say about what he's able to do, though? I mean,
well, it says a lot.
Against Anaheim, too. He's done this a number of times.
He says a lot about the inner drive in him. He wants to be challenged. He wants to help the Bruins win hockey games. And I think the luxury we have with both goalies, both of them have won games for us on the end of back-to-backs.
Yeah. So you want Swayman to be ready because sometimes in a playoff game, a team just kind of goes crazy. I mean, Linus could be all world the whole year, look like the reincarnation of Dominic Hasek, and then suddenly have one bad game somewhere in the playoffs, like let's say in the second round, and it's against Tampa. And that's the last time. That's the last team you want to say, like, oh my gosh, that goal is looking like the ocean to them. And sometimes you may need to put Swayman in there just to kind of slow things down or show that you have an option in there because that's where you see it. Sometimes you're like, you know what? They're going with their backup. So the backup needs to be ready. Even if Linus has been all world, it can happen. That's just kind of how the beauty and the ugliness of the NHL playoffs is just suddenly things can change in a heartbeat when it comes to your goalie. And at the same time, the other team, yeah, we've seen it. I can't think of names because some of the guys you don't even remember. Guys have made careers of being like, hey, I'm the backup. Who is it? It was the Islanders that did it a couple years ago. They were running their backup against the Bruins and just like was like on fire. So it's going to be important that both goalies are ready for the challenge in case you have to go to Swayman and he's the hot hand in the playoffs. It would be the story of stories. But we've seen this story before. So if you kind of break down how the divisions look right now and what the probabilities are in the Atlantic, Boston would be one, then the Maple Leafs would be two, Tampa would be three, the Sabres would be four. And then in the Metropolitan, Carolina would be one, Devils two, Rangers three, Capitals four. So the Bruins and the Capitals would be that opening round matchup right now. I think it's kind of fascinating. Florida has just kind of fallen off. And, you know, really the Atlantic Division kind of looks the same. The only difference is you just flip the Panthers and the Sabres from last year. And you pretty much have the same thing that you have. The Canadiens are still horrible. When do the halves become a quarter? That's how bad they are. Okay, that's a bad Canadian humor. And then if you look at, you know, with the Celtics in the East right now, the projections would be Celtics 1, Cavs 2, 76ers 3. Bucks 4, Brooklyn 5, Knicks 6, Heat 7, Bulls 8. So they're saying that between Miami, Chicago, Atlanta, and the Pacers, now one projection has the Pacers winning that series, and it's probably because the Pacers at 10 would face the number 9 seed. So them beating the Hawks is a possibility, and then they're probably figuring that Miami and Chicago would win out. Miami's kind of struggling. It's not the same team as last year. But if the Bulls are sitting at 8 against the Celtics in that first round, that could be a problem. That could be a problem. And then if you look across on the west side, it looks like they believe that Memphis will finish 1, Denver 2, Pelicans 3, Kings 4, Thunder 5. Wow. Jazz 6, Mavs 7, Suns 8. Golden State would be missing out at 9. That's why I said, you know, look, people like, you know, Golden State, you know, they won their title. This wasn't a big game. Yeah, it was. Right? Because they need every win they can get to get themselves above the line. So maybe they make a trade that's still on the table. And same thing with the Celtics. You know, what adjustments do you make? You know, if you're high running as the best team in the league and you've got a 24% chance to win the NBA Finals, you still need to make some adjustments if you can. I know Jakob Poeltl's name has come up center for the San Antonio Spurs, and it makes a lot of sense. Someone off of the bench who can give you rebounds, who can put the ball in the basket. Like, think Luke Kornet. Just think Luke Kornet with the scoring ability and a little bigger body, right? Because those rotations are going to start getting tight, and you probably want someone who could play off of the ball or who can run like maybe a high screen and roll, a high pick and roll on that bench team along with Malcolm Brogdon. So, you know, look, give it to the Celtics, give it to the Bruins that both of these teams are taking care of your heartstrings right now. But also realize that because they're running on such high fuel and such high energy, that there is going to be a very tense portion at the bottleneck when you get to the playoffs. Right? If you remember last year, the Celtics made their run towards the end and was able to push themselves all the way to the 2 seed. But at one time, they were kind of miring in 5, 6, 7. So, you know, at one point, it was like, this team is so bad. They're a play-in team, tournament team. It was just awful last year. Those days are long gone. Players know their roles better. Marcus Smart is more of a distributor now, still with the defensive mindset and presence. I thought the most impressive thing from Tatum last night was 19 rebounds, because that means he went in there and got that ball 19 times in a game where, hey, I would rather see him go 34-19 than 51-4 in rebounds. Because you're 51-4, how many of those other 15 rebounds that got away from you were put back for buckets? Because that's going to be needed. You think about against, you know, the size of Embiid and some of the guys they have on that team that can just block up space. They kind of can block up the sun a little bit. Same thing with the Bucks, even more so. You know, with Lopez and Portis, some of those guys in the front line. So there's some tough roads ahead, but I'm here to tell you that I think both teams will be okay. You know, I've heard people say, oh, don't talk to me about the Bruins into the second round. I get that idea. But maybe Jim Montgomery is the guy to let them know that, you know, toughness is going to be needed more than what you've done before in the playoffs. The finesse stuff from the front line is not going to play. You need to, like, you need to play like someone is just taking your family hostage every game. And in order to get them back, you've got to fight like you haven't fought before. That's pretty much going to be the narrative with the Bruins. And if you see Washington in the first round, as is projected, you'll get that test right away. And maybe that could be a good thing. And with the Celtics, you know, just don't fall into old habits that you saw pieces of at the beginning of last night's game. You know, suddenly, you know, early on, you're taking all these outside shots. You're not giving anybody a chance to get any rebounds. It's a smaller team. And I get that. You know, you're a younger team, but give hats off to Joe Mazzulla. He stuck to his guns. He knows these guys and is getting the best out of them. So if I had to rank them in terms of who most likely is going to win the title this year, I'd have to say Celtics 1, Bruins 2. Then notice I didn't say anything about Red Sox or Patriots. I'll get the Patriots next hour because there's a lot going on with them. Who's further away from a title between the Red Sox and the Patriots? Huh. I mean, that's what's crazy to think that, you know, hey, just a couple of years ago, the Red Sox were only a couple of games from even getting to the World Series. But there's no feeling like that this Patriots team could even sniff the second round of the playoffs. Like, there's a part of me that believes that in the next 3 years, the Red Sox will get closer to a World Series than the Patriots will get to an AFC championship game. And that's scary to think. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Stiz, I know you've been waiting. I see you over there texting some shady character on some type of flip phone over there because
I need some loot.
Because coming up in Scared Money Don't Make None, there is a parlay that pays over $700,000 just off of one game. That's next on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
This is WEEI Late Night with KJ Carson on WEEI.
Yeah. Boom. Late Night, WEEI. KJ, thank you so much for being here. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 still to come. More on this offensive coordinator search for the Patriots and plus Gronk's interesting comments about you, the New England fan. Stiz, true story, because I know you like Luda.
Love Luda, Chris.
That is a buddy of mine. He was actually on my wedding guest. He received a wedding invitation to my wedding.
Really? Because, yeah, he was a radio guy before he became a rapper, right?
True story. So when he was in radio, I was about to take a job to go to Atlanta at the time I was living in Charlotte. And so to find out, this is what you do in the industry. Like, you find out, like, how crazy the boss is. You call, like, the staff, like, of the shift that before you would work. So I call down there. It's him, a guy named Poon Daddy, and Lala Vasquez. She's like, now an actress. And I call. I was like, hey, you know, what's up with the dude? He's like, hey, I'm about to finish my album, and you may end up working this shift here. So I turned out not taking the job to go down there at the time because my daughter was like 3 or 4 at the time, something like that. So I was like, nah, I'm not going to get up and go just yet. So fast forward to one of those TV award shows. I can't remember what it was. He sits down at my table. We're talking about who's going to do a show in the city I was working at the time. And we get to talk, and he was just like, man, I remember you calling. So fast forward maybe a couple more years, I end up in Atlanta, and one of his best friends from childhood in Chicago ends up becoming one of my good friends without even knowing it. So when I left Atlanta to go to DC, I know this is all this kind of like, what does this have to do? They threw me a going away party at one of his houses. It was just like 10 of us. I've still buried those pictures.
Nah, he must have. Oh man. He's had such a great career from music to movies. It's really been awesome to see him.
He's a great guy. He's very quiet. He's not a person who makes a whole lot of noise. He's very observant. I just know what it's like being with him. Like, so there's one incident where I called it the Jimi Hendrix night in my life, where when we showed up there, it was like him, the girl he's married to now, and maybe 4 or 5 others of us. And so we get to this club, and they obviously put us back in this VIP area. And what I realized, because, you know, I'm a big guy. So it's me, another guy named Will. He's a big guy. Al's a big guy as well. So we can't just have some time, because suddenly they're like, Luda's here. So now, instead of facing inward, we've got to now turn our bodies, kind of operating as like pseudo security. It was wild. But that was the night. I want to say it was like 5 bottles of Grey Goose, 2 tequila bottles. What are they? The little green one.
Oh, that Patron.
Patron, that's it. So it was, man, I woke up the next day. I was thinking, oh my God, I almost died the way Jimi Hendrix died. So so Chris is he's such a good guy. They looked out after me when I was in Atlanta and kept me out of trouble. So I just don't know who's been able to do that since I've been here in Boston. All right, you ready to win some money, Stiz?
Let's go.
Hit it.
You were scared, huh? Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Scared money don't make none.
The best role I ever had.
Scared money don't make none.
I like this one. One dog goes one way and the other dog goes the other way.
Scared money don't make none.
All right, BetMGM has some interesting props that I've put together for you in a parlay. I'm going to go from the lowest payout to the highest payout by game. And I also have a multi-game play that you can always fix in there as well. So let's start with the Eagles versus the Giants. Not a whole lot of money to get on this game, because either you believe the Giants will win and that has a lot of money, but I believe the Eagles, one, will win by 7 to 10 points, 7 to 12 points. That's plus 400. Jalen Hurts score the first touchdown. He is known to run them in to start the game. Plus 600. It's a risky one, but I like that one. Take the Eagles to extend out that the line. Move it out to Eagles by 9, and you can get plus money at plus 105. Total for the game, under 46.5. I don't see the Giants really getting above 10 points in this game. Plus 110. A $100 bet would pay out $14,967.50. So, hey, 100 bucks would get you 14 grand. That's not bad, right?
That's pretty good. And I got 100.
And that's the low number right there. So let me give you a multi-game with high score, low score, high scoring team, low scoring team that will pay out a nice chunk. So the highest scoring game would be Bengals at Bills. That's plus 290. Highest scoring team, I'm calling the Bengals on the upset. I'll get into that in a little bit. Plus 1,200. I think it'd be a shootout. Lowest scoring game, Giants-Eagles, because the Giants won't offer up anything. Plus 250. And the lowest scoring team, surprise, the Giants. Plus 300. $100 down pays out, Stiz. $70,880. 70 grand. Just on a four leg? Woo! But it gets better. Cowboys, 49ers. Play with a little risk. I think the Cowboys defense gets the Brock Purdy, so take the Cowboys to win at plus 165. Dak Prescott, mistake-free when it comes to the interceptions. Under 0.5 interceptions, plus 120. Cowboys by 3.5, so that way I say, hey, it's going to be more than just a field goal that was going to, maybe they win by 4, gets you right over that hook, plus 250. Brock Purdy, anytime touchdown, I mean, bootleg and run it, plus 450. Ty Hilton, I think he's going to be a secret weapon for Dak Prescott because they're going to be preparing for those tight ends, and everybody's going to be concentrating on CeeDee Lamb. Ty Hilton, anytime touchdown, plus 350. And Ezekiel Elliott, anytime touchdown for the Cowboys, plus 150. A $100 bet pays $126,155.94.
Wow.
Jeez. But that's what happens when the Cowboys are dogs. You sometimes just have to, like, you know what? I might have to check it out. But it gets better, Stiz. Chiefs, Jaguars. Take the Chiefs to win by 7 to 12 points, plus 360. Will both teams score 20 or more? No, the Chiefs will, but I don't think the Jags will. Plus 105. Travis Kelce, 10 or more receptions. That's a risk, but hey, if they can't stop him, he's going to keep getting fed. Plus 400. Game total, under 45.5. I think the Jags will struggle to score. It's not like the Chargers where, I don't know, you just give up 30-something points after being up 27-0. Jeez. So I like a lower total, under 45.5, plus 200. Justin Watson, Chiefs anytime touchdown. He's been kind of the secret go-to guy that Patrick Mahomes has been using, plus 400. Trevor Lawrence, anytime touchdown. You see he likes to sneak it over a goal line. If he gets close, plus 300. A $100 bet would pay $282,800 bucks. I told you scared money don't make none. Chess. But the big one, Bengals, Bills. Take the Bengals to win, plus 200. Bengals by minus 4.5, so they might be just under a touchdown winner, maybe by 5, 6, 7, plus 340. Take the total of under 47. I think it becomes a scrappy game, and maybe you're looking at maybe 30-14, maybe somewhere in there. Closer than that? I don't know. Under 47, plus 115. Bengals by 1 to 6 points, so maybe a tight game in the 20s. 20 to 17, 21, 22, 7, 24, 20, 20, 24, 17, somewhere near. Yeah, that would put under 47. Bengals by 1 to 6 points, plus 425. Joe Mixon scoring the last touchdown. That's a risky one. But scare money don't make none. Plus 1,100. And Hayden Hurst, the tight end for the Bengals, anytime touchdown, plus 320. Get ready for this, Stiz. A $100 bet on that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 leg parlay would pay $750,834.80. Can we get to a car in Atlantic? Let's head to Atlantic City tomorrow. Oof. Oh, my gosh. You can stop the music because last year we did a thing called Squid Games, you might remember.
Oh, yeah. That was a great game.
Very last game of the season between the Raiders and the Chargers. Had a six-leg parlay. $100 bet, no, $1,000 bet would have paid out $1.8 million, and it hit. Not for me. I do this for the people. So someone out there, maybe they live just on the other side of Portsmouth, right across the main line, where the lottery I told you, didn't I tell you last week? That if I won the lottery, I would work for like 2 more weeks and then like 2 weeks later, I'd be out of here.
It was a local person who, well, not local, but New England, Maine, ooh, I believe. Yeah.
Hey, I'll put it this way. I have a really good friend that works in Portsmouth, and that store that it was sold, maybe like 15 minutes from there. But look, all I'm saying is this. Is it true? Don't say where, but don't I do the show from home?
Yes.
From time to time? Okay. All right, now here's the other thing. Most people know because I can't afford to live in Boston, I live in New Hampshire.
Smart move.
I told you that if I won that lottery, if I won Megabits, because the person still hasn't come forward. Trust me, I know this. I would work 2 more weeks. And what was that? What was the payout last week? So, like, if you don't hear me after next Friday at this time, I'm probably the lottery winner.
Ooh. All right. We met up to talk off air. Did I ever tell you how much you're my favorite host?
Hey, bro. Scare money don't make none, and ask and ye shall receive potentially. But potentially put together a business plan too for a large sum of money. Second hour of late. You think I'm kidding? If I won the lottery, I'm not here next week. I'm not here after next week, like first of the month. Say you. I mean, you would then know. But I said that last week. The second hour of late night with KJ is next on WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.